Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What do you do when your experience in life does not seem to line up with or agree with the Word of God? When what is happening to you even seems to contradict the Word of God. The Word which says that God will provide for you, but you've been in need for so long. The Word which proclaims that God will be with you always, yet you've never felt so alone. The Word which teaches that you are a child of God, baptized into Him, and that He will never leave you as an orphan. And yet your Heavenly Father has never felt so far away. The Word which trumpets that you are forgiven, and yet you look at yourself and inside yourself and see nothing but a miserable, wretched sinner and feel so unworthy and dirty and unclean. The Word which promises you every good, yet so much of what you receive seems anything but good. How do you reconcile the Word of God, which tells us that our Father will always hear and answer every prayer, yet when you pray, you seem to be like this woman we heard about today, whose prayers are met only with silence and rejection? What do you do? Such times are hard when word and world conflict. But that is the reality we live in. This woman's reality. So by considering her, we see ourselves. So to consider her, first of all, think this. Why was she there? Well, because her daughter was severely oppressed by a demon, maybe for some time now. And how do you fight against a demon? She needed help. You know how it is. For demons are pressing hard, attacking, luring, and tempting you too into all manner of sins. What are they for you that you are struggling with, wrestling with, maybe severely? And your strength is not enough. You've tried and failed, fallen back into the old ways, the old sins, the old bad habits and despair. You need help too. But do not overlook this fact. Why was she there? Because first, Jesus had come for her. The Son of God had come down from heaven in the flesh. And then Jesus went to her area, going up to the region of Tyre and Sidon. The Lord, first of all, invades enemy territory to help, to rescue, and to save. And again, this is true for you as well. We have not a God who is far away, but a God who is near, who comes to us in our own flesh and blood, that we come to Him. But still there is more, for why was she there? Because not only was Jesus there for her, but she heard about Him. Someone told her, someone preached to her. Just as the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, and John the Baptist pointed the crowds to Jesus. So she heard of this good news. Or maybe she heard from Jesus herself. This preaching with an authority not of this world. You've heard that word, that preaching too. That here is hope for the hopeless, help for the helpless, and freedom for the oppressed. That's why you've come too. And so with great boldness and in great desperation and with great hope, she comes to Jesus and she gets not what we expect. And not, I'm sure, what she expected, and not what Jesus' track record would have told us or taught us to expect. She gets this, the silent treatment, rejection, insult, sand kicked in her face, shoved to the back of the room, acknowledged only to be rejected. For this woman, the word that she heard and what she was now experiencing were two vastly different and seemingly even contradictory things. But she does not believe her experience. She does not believe whatever emotions are surging out of her heart. She does not believe the voice of the devil whispering in her ear to go away. That see, Jesus does not want to help you. No. She clings to Jesus. She clings to the word and promises about Him. That Jesus is the Lord. That Jesus is the promised Son of David. That as Paul would later proclaim, Jesus has come to have mercy on all people, including Gentiles, including Canaanites, including her. And because of this, Jesus holds her up as an example of great faith. For this is what faith does. It clings to the words and promises of God. Even when our emotions and our experiences and even other people in this world, like disciples, tell us otherwise. Because everything else is unreliable. Everything else in us and in this world has been tainted with sin. For sin isn't just the bad things we do. It is the disease that infects our minds and our emotions so they don't work as they should. We think wrongly. We interpret our emotions incorrectly. And when left on our own, we will think wrong things about God too. And you can be sure that the devil and his demons are going to take full advantage of that. To deceive us and mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Which means that any sentence that begins with, "It seems to me," or "It feels like to me," frankly, cannot be trusted. Only sentences which begin with, "Thus saith the Lord." Only these are pure truth. Only these can be relied on and trusted. Only these will give us the firm and certain foundation we need in a world filled with trouble and strife, changes and chances, danger and need. Especially when our experiences and our emotions are telling us one thing today and something completely different the next day. God doesn't change. And His Word doesn't change. And so we have something outside of our infected sinful selves to rely on. That's what this woman did that day. She clung to to the Word of God and would not let go. And not only the Word of God she heard that brought her there to Jesus that day, but also the words that Jesus spoke to her too. Those words that sounded so harsh, yet in which this woman finds hope. For when Jesus says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs," the woman responds, "You say that I am a dog. Let it be. I'll be a dog. So give me the consideration you would give a dog." I don't ask for anything more than a dog's rights. Give the children what is the children's. I don't ask for that. Just give me the crumbs. I'll be content with that. How different is that from what we hear in our world today, where so many people make demands of God and demanding of rights and privileges and to get what they want from God, and if God doesn't deliver, see ya. No, it is not to those who think they are deserving or worthy that Jesus gives, but to the undeserving and unworthy. Not to the tax collectors, or not to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but to the tax collectors and sinners. Not to those who think Jesus owes them something simply because they are physically descended from Abraham, but to the true children of Abraham. Those descended not by flesh, but by the promise. Children by faith. Like this Canaanite woman. Like you. And so she receives. She receives the mercy she came for. She receives from Jesus the mercy he's come to give. Was it a crumb? Was it more? It doesn't matter. Faith doesn't measure the gift, but receives from God with thanksgiving, believing that it is good and exactly what we need. No, faith doesn't measure the gift. It's the sin in us that measures the gift. The sin in us that compares what God has given to others and what He has given to us, which judges what God has given to me compared to what I've asked Him for. But just as we cannot trust our emotions and experiences, so we cannot trust our judgments here either. What we think are mere crumbs may in reality be much, much more. Like children rushing downstairs on Christmas morning and one child receiving a small box and the other child receiving a large box, and immediately the jealousy begins without even knowing what's inside. Do we judge God that way? And His gifts that way, and His works that way, and His love that way? Lots to repent of there. Instead, believe the Word. What the world considers treasure, wealth and honor and power and glory, these are of little worth, really. They come and go and do not last. But what the world considers of little worth, the church, the Word of God, the water of baptism, the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, these are the treasures containing far more than mere crumbs. They contain the death and resurrection of Jesus for you. They give you the fruits of His cross. They give you the gifts that will never end. His forgiveness, His life, His salvation, His sonship, His body and blood. And that's true no matter what you feel or experience here. You have His Word and His promise. "For thus saith the Lord, I baptize you. I forgive you. I am coming back for you. You will be with me in paradise. This is my body, my blood. Sure and certain, those words. Words of life. Words to cling to. For no matter what the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature with its emotions and experiences wants you to believe, your Heavenly Father and your Savior Jesus Christ and His Spirit will never let you down. The struggles will continue, of that you can be sure. Those hours of deep need, darkness, and hurt, such is life in this sinful world. But as we sang in the intro it earlier, the Lord is my strength when I am weak, and my shield when I am attacked. In Him my heart trusts, not my emotions and experiences, and I am helped. And not just given a helping hand, but rescued, saved. For you are forgiven. It is finished. The Lord has mercied you. Cling to that when in the hour of deepest need, and every other hour too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.